Good morning, ladies. It's wonderful to see you again and to see all these ladies who enjoy the fellowship of other Christian ladies and have a desire to study the Word. It's just great to see all of you. I know coming to Titus Tuesday is a very enjoyable part of your Tuesday mornings. It's an opportunity to see friends and to hear a Bible lesson that's perhaps especially meaningful to women. Hopefully you are encouraged by the lessons that the ladies have shared and the group discussion groups that have followed, and that you've learned some helpful skills in the second hour classes. And I'm pretty sure that the fellowship time is always encouraging and pleasant. And what do we do during that fellowship time? We talk to each other. That is one thing most women enjoy, and usually have plenty to share concerning their lives and their families. It's enjoyable to be with friends and to meet new people and become acquainted with them. But interactions with fellow believers aren't always encouraging and edifying. Sometimes we become aware of or become involved in discussions, or we have to deal with an issue in which everyone doesn't see eye to eye. And unfortunately, sometimes those discussions elevate to the point of becoming conflict. In those circumstances, words are sometimes spoken that cause others to be offended or hurt. When conflict occurs, it's especially important that we control our tongues and choose our words wisely. And that is what we are going to talk about today, controlling our tongues while being led by the Holy Spirit. Conflict ignites fiery passions within the human soul. It can make the head throb and the adrenaline rush. What is worse, conflict can turn the mouth into a cruel weapon. We can use our words to hurt others and damage relationships in the family of God. So no matter what the conflict, words matter, and they matter a lot. Most conflicts can be resolved with minimal damage to individual people and to the church if we bring our anger and our tongue under the Holy Spirit's control. The unholy war of words that is part of many disputes between God's people is in direct opposition to the clear teaching of Scripture. Ephesians 4:29 and 30 read, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." The Holy Spirit is sensitive to anything that damages or divides the people of God. Therefore, he cares deeply how we speak to one another. The possibility of grieving the Holy Spirit by what we say ought to be a strong motivation for us to choose our words carefully. Those of us who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ must remember that Jesus solemnly warns us that what we say reveals the condition of an attitude of our hearts. And he also states that we will be held accountable for every word we speak. Jesus himself addresses this in the 24th chapter of Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew 24 in our Bibles. Matthew 24. He is speaking to the Pharisees here, but the biblical truth applies to all of us, to everyone. Matthew 24, and I'll begin reading with verse 34. "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. And the good man out of his good treasure brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth what is evil. And I say to you that every careless word that men shall speak, they shall render account for it in the day of judgment." These verses show us that the words we speak are a reflection of what is in our heart. This is one of the most important biblical principles for us to remember. Our choice of words and the way we say them are a result of what we are thinking, and that is controlled by the spiritual condition of our heart. It's also a measure of our desire to walk by the Spirit. The letter of James provides some of the most important statements in all Scripture regarding the control of the tongue, and I know we're familiar with most of these, but it's just good to review them. James describes the unrestrained tongue as a fire, a world of unrighteousness, set on fire by hell. It's not a pretty picture, is it? Out of such a mouth can spew gossip, rumors, lies, and false accusations. Genuine spiritual godliness, though, in contrast, is demonstrated by bringing the tongue under control. James writes in the first chapter, "If anyone thinks himself to be religious, and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is worthless." If we consider ourselves to be faithful, obedient Christians, but fail to control our tongue, we are deceiving ourselves. Too often, when conflict erupts, people become angry and seem not to care what they say as long as they can get their point across. At the very moment they need to bridle their tongue, they lose control and use words as weapons to hurt people. In such situations, James would say bluntly, "This person's religion is worthless." So whether a disagreement is serious or relatively insignificant, we must choose our words carefully. Another aspect of our verbal interactions is our willingness to listen, to really hear what the other person is saying. If we could listen to our own conversations with others, we would probably be surprised by how little we listen and how strongly we react to those who disagree with us. We often immediately jump to justifying our position and winning the disagreement. Even while the other person is talking, we are not listening but are thinking ahead about how we're going to respond to what they've just said. Proverbs says this is foolish. Proverbs 18 says, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." I know I have done that very same thing in a discussion on occasion, and I am not very happy to know God's evaluation of my speech at that moment, that it is folly, and it's just another word for foolish and sinful. And so I know what I need to do. I need to train my heart to be aware when I'm about to do that. I then need to follow through with being quiet and waiting until the other person finishes what she is saying before I speak. Another biblical truth that we need to consider concerns the amount of talking that we do, especially in a disagreement. Solomon, a man of great wisdom, writes, "The purpose in a man's heart is like deep water, but a man of understanding draws it out." So a man of understanding, a wise person, doesn't need to do all the talking. The wise person listens well and doesn't interrupt. A truly wise person asks the right questions in order to understand what the other person is saying and considers the other person's point of view. The wise person also considers the possibility that the other person might be right. Not one of us is correct all the time. When we are open to learning, the person we are talking to may teach us something helpful if we are not too prideful to listen to what they're saying. So we need to be quiet and listen to the other person's position and reasoning. This means that most of us, and I include myself in this group, will need to learn to be slow to put forth our opinions, slow to be the first to answer, slow to dominate the conversation, and slow to pronounce judgment. Although we may enjoy talking with our friends, the book of Proverbs warns us of the dangers of too much talk. In Proverbs 10, Solomon writes, "When there are many words, transgression, which is sin, is unavoidable, but he who restrains his lips is wise." In Proverbs 21, he continues, "He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble." Proverbs 18, he continues, "A fool's mouth is his ruin, and his lips are the snare of his soul." Wise people benefit when they control their tongue. Fools, however, lack restraint, which then leads to conflict. Controlling the tongue is difficult, even impossible, for those who are without the Holy Spirit. James writes, "No human being can tame the tongue," and goes on to describe it as a restless evil full of deadly poison. James isn't exaggerating either. An uncontrolled tongue destroys families and friendships and can wreak havoc in a church body. If, however, we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we have God's power to help us in control that untamable tongue. A good verse to have as a prayer is Psalm 141:3. "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." You know, speech is a marvelous gift. It distinguishes us from the animal world and provides evidence that we bear the divine image of God. It also gives evidence of a believer's new life in Christ. God intends the believer's new self to be displayed in the way we speak, especially when we are engaged in a stirring discussion or conflict with a brother or sister in Christ. When conflict arises, the way we speak determines whether a potentially explosive situation is moderated or escalates. To answer angry words with more angry words only throws wood on the fire of contention. Proverbs 15:1 teaches us, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So we are not to respond to mean, nasty talk with more mean, nasty talk. We are not to return evil words for evil words. Our speech is to be wholesome and healing, building others up, not tearing them down. The tongue is one of the cruelest weapons humans possess, and the wounds that sharp words inflict are among the most painful experiences that people can have. Cruel, cutting, hurtful words can remain in a person's mind and spoil relationships forever. Such talk is the work of the flesh, not the spirit. The Holy Spirit does not lead believers to make cruel, mean, nasty, or insulting comments. Rather, the Holy Spirit desires that a Christian be a model of godly speech. God's people are to love one another, and love is not arrogant or rude. James conveys the Holy Spirit's mind over such misuse of the tongue when he writes, "With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way." To eliminate a cutting tongue, remove from your vocabulary all words that belittle, mock, insult, or demean others in any way. The battle for godly speech is a long-running one, probably for all of our lives. If you do catch yourself using any derogatory words, do not rationalize that kind of talk, but confess it as the sin that it is. Remember, the mouth simply expresses what is in the heart, and the sin is the root of all wrong speaking. Speaking truthfully without exaggeration is most important when you are talking about doctrinal differences. Adherents on both sides of the debate over the doctrine of divine election and human free will, for example, often use extreme inflammatory language. Some who believe in Arminianism, which emphasizes free will, state that Calvinists base their beliefs on the philosophy of determinism and ignore the scriptures. This infuriates the Calvinists, who emphasize God's sovereignty and election. Some Calvinists, in turn, call Arminians heretics and presume to say that they don't think Arminians are born again because of their works-oriented salvation. This infuriates the Arminians. This kind of language is misguided and toxic. It's never helpful for discussing profitably the truths of Scripture among those who love God and His Word. These types of disagreements also arise over such topics as lordship salvation, covenant versus dispensational theology, church music, homeschool versus public or Christian school, the role of women, and the list goes on. Do these seem a little familiar? Yeah. This type of language is not acceptable for those who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ and are created in the image of God. All believers are responsible before God to use accurate, temperate words in our disagreements with one another. We also need to remember that God hates all forms of lying. It states in Proverbs 12 that lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Our gospel is a gospel of truth. Our God is the God of truth, and He requires us to speak truth to one another in love. We need to remember that exaggerated speech is a form of falsehood that distorts the truth. There is nothing righteous or holy about it. Inflammatory words fuel conflict and further polarize people. They don't solve problems. They only make them worse. So it's absolutely necessary that believers refuse to engage in exaggerated or anger-provoking speech. If you want to gain victory over this type of sin, eliminate inflammatory statements about other people's beliefs or lies. Be careful not to misrepresent or distort them. In daily conversation, always be careful to speak accurately and truthfully, the way the Holy Spirit leads us to do. Gossip can be another problem for many Christians. Gossip or talebearing is one of the most common sins of discord. Let's consider what gossip actually is before we go on. Webster's Dictionary defines it as idle, trifling talk, especially about other people. It is also a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. Gossip can also be a form of slander. When information about a person misrepresents another person and damages that person's reputation. Gossip is a work of the flesh. Like a dreadful, contagious disease, it poisons people's minds and creates chaos and misinformation. It's an ugly vice that drives people apart and destroys peace. Let's turn to Proverbs 16 and review God's perspective on gossiping. Proverbs 16. I'll begin reading with verse 28. Verse 28, a perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. Now, just go over to Proverbs 17, probably the next page in your Bible. Proverbs 17:9. It reads, he who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates intimate friends. And I thought it was very interesting that on Sunday in our bulletin, probably some of you have seen this too, that there was a little paragraph on the second page. The context was being aware of sin in another person's life and deciding whether that was something that you should keep to yourself or if it would be acceptable to share with other people. So I would just like to read it to you. It's just in our bulletin on Sunday. Let us be silent about things which are a discredit to human character. Remember, you may yourself deserve a rebuke one of these days. And as you would like this to be done gently and privately, so let us keep our remarks about others within the happy circle of love. And not surprisingly, that's from Charles Spurgeon. I just so appreciate, you know, addressing years and years ago, you know, a common situation that occurs today when we're aware of sin in another person's life or a shortcoming or a bad decision, and we elect not to share it with anybody out of love for the fellow believer. I just so appreciate the gentle and compassionate tone of this, just this few, you know, sentences that he shared that was written down. So gossip can do great damage to a fellow believer, the local church, and the believing community. One of the fastest ways to stop gossip and the division it creates is not to repeat it. But most of us have a perverse enjoyment of gossip, and Scripture warns that it is as hard to resist as the most appealing of pastries. Solomon writes in Proverbs 26:22, "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body." Until people face their sinful appetite for gossip and repent, disagreements, quarrels, and hurt feelings will continue. In order to eliminate gossip from our speech, we must not participate in it. We must eliminate gossip from our conversations. We must even steer clear of those who are talebearers. Proverbs 20 addresses this specifically in verse 29. He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip. We need to each examine the presence and practice of gossip in our own lives. It is easy to slip into the habit of talking about others, but we must hold ourselves to the standard that God has set for us in Scripture. We cannot rationalize that our gossip isn't that bad. We can't think, I don't gossip very much, so a little bit isn't going to hurt anything. Keep in mind that when you gossip or listen to gossip, you are also tempting or leading a friend into the sin of gossip also. We also need to be careful who we choose for our friends. Having frequent conversations with a person who is prone to talking about other people will have a negative spiritual effect on us. We will either become desensitized to the evilness of gossip, or we will be led into participating in gossip ourselves. We must choose godly friends who use godly speech, not gossip or slander that can lead both of us down the path of sin and sin against the Lord and His children. We need to be examples of women who use gracious, edifying speech. It is honoring and obedient to the Lord. And keep in mind that we are being observed by others. Other women and children, and especially our own children or grandchildren, observe how we speak and whether or not we gossip, and how we handle it when others gossip around us. We should be good examples to our friends and an encouragement to them and to other people in our lives by speaking gracious, true, and edifying words. The book of Proverbs addresses the use and misuse of words in a believer's life. Let's consider a few of those verses. Gentle, conciliatory words can calm an angry person. Proverbs 15:1 states, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Gracious words can comfort a sick and wounded heart. From Proverbs 12, "There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." And gracious words, this is one of my favorite verses, "And gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." From Proverbs 16. Pleasant words increase persuasiveness. Proverbs 16:21 reads, "The wise in heart will be called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness." Gentle, patient words can break down difficult arguments, difficult times of conflict, and win over a resistant opponent. Choose your words wisely and learn to speak as a peacemaker, encourager, and comforter. Graciously be a blessing even to those who speak evil against you. When facing conflict, determine beforehand, to always tactfully speak the truth. Truthfulness is the foundation of all edifying speech. Conflict can be managed in a Christ-honoring way if we choose to use wholesome words of truth and grace. There are a couple of additional practices that we can also develop to help us control our tongues. First, consider the word "think" before you speak, and I think a lot of you have seen this little trick or little way to help you think before you speak. If you write the word with the letters "think" in a vertical line rather than a horizontal line, they can give you a little checklist to consider before you speak. Ask yourself these questions. For T, is what I am about to say true?
Yes.
For H, is what am I about to say helpful? For I, is it inspiring? And to me, spiritually, this would be, is it edifying? Okay. For N, is it necessary? That's a big one, isn't it? I think we say a lot of unnecessary things. I think I do. And K, is it kind? If the answer to any of those questions is no, perhaps you shouldn't say what you are about to say. Another important principle to remember is that we must train our consciences correctly. We do this by knowing and obeying God's word. We cannot just read our Bibles. We must know God's word and meditate on it, letting the Holy Spirit work in us to apply God's word to each of us individually. It is crucial to train our consciences correctly. If we don't, we will all have different standards of right and wrong, of what is sinful and what isn't. Before we speak, we must be quiet and consider how what we are about to say measures up to the standards of God's word. Listening to good Bible teaching is also very, very important. We need to seek out pastors and other teachers who teach God's word in spirit and in truth. And we are so blessed here at Indian Hills to have an abundance of wonderful Sunday school teachers and a great pastor to teach us. Much is written about our speech and encouraging one another in the Bible, and we are responsible to know and obey what God says in His word. Another point we need to remember is the role of our heart concerning this issue. I mentioned this earlier, but we always need to be examining our hearts, evaluating the different areas of our lives, including our feelings and attitudes toward friends, family members, and especially fellow believers. If we are having trouble controlling what we say to another believer or what we say about another believer, the underlying problem is the heart. We are commanded to love our fellow Christians, and if we don't, we are in sin. We should love and cultivate love for all our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have the right heart attitude, and if you are sensitive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, that will go a long way in helping you have edifying and kind interactions with other people. We need to evaluate on a regular basis how we are doing in our obedience and walk with the Lord. So, we'll do that today. I have a few questions for you to consider. First, how are you doing in handling the conflict that sometimes occurs in your life? You get emotionally stirred up and find yourself going head to head with that person? Or are you able to calmly and quietly use words that aren't hurtful or offensive? Next, we know that our words are a reflection of what's in our heart. What do the words we say, the words you speak, the words I speak, say about our heart condition when we are angry, offended, or hurt? What's your normal response like? What kind of words do you use on those occasions? Third, how would you describe the practice of gossip in your life? How successful are you at not sharing information about another person, even if that information is true, that could cause others to think less of that person? Next, are you a trustworthy confidant? In other words, are you able to keep from sharing what another person has told you and asked you not to share with anyone else? Can you be trusted to keep that confidence even in a group of mutual friends who ask you if you know the details of that person's situation? And last, are you willing to speak up to your friends in love when they begin to gossip and tactfully say they need to stop and talk about something else? Are you willing to walk away if the gossip continues? These are probing questions, and I think we know the areas where we need to make corrections. We as believers have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. He guides us and strengthens us so that we can be more obedient. And that is part of our spiritual growth. When we have an increasing amount of righteousness and a decreasing amount of sin in our lives. As we grow spiritually and walk in the Spirit, our changing heart adjusts our thinking and gives us a greater love for our fellow Christians. When that happens, the words that come out of our mouths will be words of love, understanding, patience, truth, and encouragement. Perhaps we can make Psalm 19:14, or words like it, part of our daily prayer to the Lord. It states, many of you I'm sure already know this, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you today for the opportunity to open up your word, to study what you have to say, and to have the Holy Spirit minister to us, convicting us of areas we need to change, giving us ideas of ways we can be an encouragement and a comforter to our friends and our fellow sisters in Christ. Lord, I just thank you for these ladies who have a desire to grow in holiness and sanctification, who have a desire to honor you with the words they say and the thoughts that are in their mind. Thank you for giving us hearts that can be molded and shaped. Help us all to have teachable hearts, Lord, that we may have speech that honor and glorify you. Help us, Lord, not just to read your word, but to really study your word, to learn your word, and to meditate on it so that the Holy Spirit can apply it to our lives and can change our lives to make us become more like you. Lord, I just thank you for these ladies. Thank you, Lord, for their desire to live an obedient life to you and honoring to you. I thank you for the love that we have for one another, and just pray, Lord, that you would help us to grow in that love and to honor you in all that we say and do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.